We're going to continue our topic today, our series, which is on connecting relationships. And this is number three. Numbers one and two are up on the website. If you missed one, you'd like to follow up on it. Relationships, you know, to me are very important. Some people it comes easy, some people not so easy. And what I found out is that the idea of being able to find common ground is really necessary if we want to have strong relationships in our life. And depending where you're at, you know, we can all see that that is a very important aspect of our time upon this earth. You know, because if we never really master this art, for lack of a better term, you know, it could leave us frustrated and sometimes left behind, you know, in things. Because, you know, all relationships that we have take a little bit of work, sometimes take a little bit of maintenance. But I want to ask a question. Should we work at all relationships? Should we work at all relationships? Now, I want to pose a hypothesis to you to some degree. Maybe that's not the right word, but I threw it out there. You got two people, same education, same skill set, working at the same job. One seems like they get all the promotions, and the other gets squat. And the one that gets squat is mad, because they think the other, you know, the boss plays favorites. I'm not saying that can't happen. But there is a reason why some people are promoted better and faster than other people. And I think it is the law of connections. Being able to connect with other people. Now, I don't believe in the aspect of where we use these skills to manipulate. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe there's a car salesman here today. I don't mean to offend you, but, you know, if you go to a car lot, they're not wanting to be your friend, most of them. What are they wanting to do? They're wanting to sell you a car. And if they, you know, the smart ones, they do it in a way that you're going to come back again because they connected with you. They're not looking at just the sale. They're looking at building a relationship with you because they know the car they sold you is going to break down, right? They all break down. But they want you to come back. And when that car breaks down and you're looking for somebody to blame, if that salesman didn't build some sort of a relationship with you, you're going to blame them and you'll go somewhere else. But if you have a good relationship with that person, they're going to come back. And that's true in any business, being able to build those relationships. And that's something. Now, I want to read a scripture. I'm going to read it from two different translations today as we continue connecting relationship. The first one's found in New American Standard. And I've chosen the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon is this one chapter. And we're going to look at verses 4 to 7. Apostle Paul was writing here, and it's a really good story if you want to read the whole book sometimes. It shouldn't take too long. It's one chapter, right? You know, I read the book of Philemon today. Woo! That's big, ain't it? But anyway, it says, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Now, this is a book to a person. This isn't to a church, technically, although the church can benefit from this book. He's writing to Philemon here. Now, the Message Bible, which is a paraphrase translation, it kind of speaks in American slang. It says, every time your name comes up in my prayers, I say, oh, thank God. I keep hearing of the love and the faith you have for the Master Jesus, which brims over to other believers. And I keep praying that this faith we hold in common keeps showing up in the good things we do, and that people recognize Christ for it all. Friend, you have no idea how good your love makes me feel. Doubly so when I see your hospitality to fellow believers. Let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We thank you so much, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to be here, to be able to minister your life and your love. Lord, help us to break the mold. Help us to break out of our shell. Those things that hold us back from getting to the next level in our life, Lord. We just want to get to the next spot. And whatever that destination is, Lord, we just place our lives in your hands. And Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, a little bit about a recap about what we've looked at the last couple weeks. You know, week one, we looked at the book of Amos, and it talked about the idea for need for agreement if we're going to be able to walk hand in hand. And I had Scott come up, and we walked hand in hand, and then, you know, one of us tried to peel off, and you can't go a different direction if you're locked in hand in hand with somebody. And you have to determine that before you start off on a destination. You know, if you get in a car and you're going on vacation, and one of you wants to go to Minnesota and the other one wants to go to Missouri, something's got to give, right? One's north and one's south. So you need to have a predetermined arrangement or agreement ahead of time. And that's kind of what being able to build relationships and understand the idea or the concept, really what's needed. Now, a lot of times we are looking at the destination when we need to be enjoying the journey. Because a journey in life prepares us for the destination. Now, the relationships that you have already built with other people, some of them are more intimate than others. And as you have built these relationships and you start to do things together, hopefully that relationship is going deeper and deeper, where you understand the different level of trust with each other and how that's important, especially in a marriage relationship. We all need somebody we can count on, and hopefully it's your spouse. And if you're not married at this time, hopefully that'll be something, you know, that does come into the picture if that's what you desire. If not, you need to do it, you know, with other people and be able to build them relationships. And we're going to show you how today. Relationships are all about all parties involved. You know, we need to make sure if you're going into a relationship that you understand that it's okay to have your own opinion. Because a lot of times we think, you know, we get the doormat mentality when we go into the relationship that we put the other person first. Yes, we do to a degree. But like I said, you cannot continually put the other person first all the time, or you're going to end up frustrated because your needs are not being met. So you're going to have to learn how to verbalize your feelings and what it is that you want out of the relationship. And that's important. That's why so many relationships have gone awry. Because they were founded upon a lie. And what happened, and we did look at this too, the idea of, you know, a lot of relationships today are founded on the flesh. And I don't want to go into this too much right now. But, you know, people get physically attracted to each other. And then it falls apart because they never took the time to build the emotional and the intellectual area of the relationship that's important. So that is also important. And lastly, we looked at last week is the idea of intimacy. It was Valentine's Day, right? So we honored Valentine's Day by encouraging more of a spiritual aspect. You know, like I said, we look to the physical, and there is that connection. You know, sometimes I don't deny that. You know, somebody just sticks out to you, don't they? You know, I remember when I first met my wife, she stuck out to me. And, you know, I knew there was a draw there. You know, however that all figures out, I don't know. I'm a guy. I don't know anything, right? You know, when it comes to relationships, I just kind of, you know, hey, whatever. But I have learned a few things along the way. It's taken me a long time. Been married 30 years, and I'm really stupid. I know that. And believe me, ask my wife. And I forget things. But I have tried to pick up a few odds and ends along the way. And the idea of intimacy, which everybody wants, but we go about it and we think intimacy is only achieved on the physical and what we can touch. But the deeper intimacy that we should be looking for, especially in relationships, you know, between a man and a woman in the area of matrimony, heading that direction, is the idea it's founded upon the Word of God, it's founded upon prayer, and it's founded upon worship. You know, as a husband and wife, I encourage you to do devotionals, getting the Word together a little bit. Also being able to pray together. I'm just not talking about God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. You know, a little more than that. That's all dandy. That's fine. That works to a degree. But, you know, we need to, you know, be a little more in depth. And I encourage, you know, husbands and wives especially take time to pray together. It doesn't have to be for an hour, just a little bit. And to make that spiritual connection, because that's really where intimacy is developed. And when you have that intimacy with somebody, it's a strong bond. You know, the Bible says, and I use this in weddings, the cord of three strands won't be broken. Well, you're one cord, your spouse is the other cord. Well, the third cord's the Lord, bringing Him in on that relationship. And that third strand makes a rope very strong. And you want that in your life. And the last one is worship, being able to worship together. When we first got married, we never had YouTube. It hadn't been created yet, to my knowledge. You know, praise God for YouTube. You know, you can just plug in a song and the words come right on the screen and you guys can, you know, sing a couple songs together. You know, we did this the other day and one of the boys walked out and said, "What are you guys doing?" Well, I was evidently singing loud, you know, and that's probably what threw them off a little bit. But, you know, the idea of being able to worship together with people, and that's because there's that intimacy. You know, one thing, I'm not a singer, and you guys know that. But one thing that amazes me when I watch two people singing together, when they look at each other, they smile. Why? There's that connection. There's that connection as they worship together. Okay, now for today, we're going to look at the idea of what common ground is and how we need to develop common ground. Now, many of us, as I shared, I'm a little introverted if I really had my way in life. I don't have to talk to be happy like I've shared. I could easily just sit or stand along the wall and, you know, be able to watch people. I enjoy watching people. That interests me. I get a kick out of it. But, you know, as a pastor, I just can't do that, you know, because I need to be more connecting. I've really worked on this. This is an area in my life I've tried to work on. And it's still a process of trying to go that. Now, sometimes, you know, there's this easier connection. It depends what that common ground is. Now, we have to find out what it is we have in common with other people to build that connecting point. And what I mean by connecting, you guys kind of touch. You know what I mean by connecting with somebody, being able to, you know, communicate and to have a common interest and to be able to share. You know, the other day we were up at a college visit up at the University of Iowa. And our counselor, for lack of a better term, you know, we went in there and started talking. He, very, very nice boy. He is in his early 20s, just graduated several years ago. And you could tell he had went through the business program. He was very good at marketing and talking. But all of a sudden, you know, he asked where we is from. And we told him, and he says, "Do you know so-and-so?" Well, yeah, we knew so-and-so. Instantly, we had a connection. We found common ground. It wasn't much common ground, but it was common ground. And with that common ground, we all of a sudden, with this kid we had never met before, and the odds are, probably never see him again. Never know. Small world. But we had connection. Just by finding one little thread of common ground. And how important that is, if you want to try to build some sort of relationship with somebody. Because common ground builds common connection. And that's something we need to remember. Common ground builds common connection. Now, what's weird to me is that this is a small town, 3,000 people plus. Now, I don't know. When I was in school, I thought I knew everybody. I thought I did. I know I didn't, but I did. I knew them by looks. I study faces. Names, I need to get better on. But I can remember a face. And I moved away for 9 years or so. Then I came back. And now, yeah, I don't know everybody. There's a lot of people that's moved in. But anyway, there's people that I know in the community that I bumped up to. You know, I maybe see them from a distance, but I don't really connect with them for whatever reason. I don't know why, but I go to Des Moines, and I bump into him. All of a sudden, I talk to him. how's it going? What's our common connection? We live in the same town. When I'm here, I don't talk to him. I go to Des Moines, I talk to him. Why? I'm looking for a connection. I'm in a strange place or a different place, and I see something common, and immediately something inside of me wants to connect. See, God made us that way. We were made for connection. And maybe because I don't do it down here because I got other connections, so I feel I have enough. Have anybody ever feel they have enough connections? Yeah, we need to get over that. That's wrong thinking. It is. I ain't lying to you. Sometimes when I counsel people, I have enough friends, they say, and I go, oh, really? Well, that ain't true. You can never have too many friends, right? Because we all need help from time to time. So that common ground opens up the connections lines. Now, as we look around this room, we have different people here today, different jobs, different things going on in their life, different places in their life. Some may be retired, some may just be tired, amen? Yeah. Some have kids, some kids are grown, some's never had kids. So how on earth can everybody in this room build a connection? One word, Jesus. And that's what this scripture's talking about. We have that common connection through the Lord. I believe that we can go to any place on the planet and be able to connect with another Christian. Because we have that common connection. And I encourage you to, you know, sometimes maybe if it doesn't come easy for you, you know, maybe you ought to build a script in the sense of always be ready to share what God's doing in your life. Because you may have an opportunity, oh, how are you? Oh, I go to this church. Oh, you know, what's going on? What's Jesus doing in your life now? And then you can be able to share something. Because I'll tell you about, if I sometimes don't have somebody asks me, like if I go to these conferences and stuff, and somebody asks me what the Lord's doing in my life and I have nothing to say, that makes me feel, then I got to thinking, oh my gosh, I got to get a plan, man. You know, because it looks bad. As a pastor, not to say Jesus is doing something in my life. Right? He's doing something. But I just don't put it to words. And so then I lost an opportunity to bring connection. Now, I'll be honest, I enjoy listening to other people talk. You wouldn't think so sometimes when I talk as long as I do, you know, sometimes, but I really do like to listen to other people's story. It interests me. So that verse 5 talks about showing the love and faith toward Jesus and the saints. So that means, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I just love Jesus. And that's good. We do love Jesus. But did you know he wants us to like people? That's the hard part. Jesus is easy. People, not so easy. He wants us to be able to build that interaction and be able to build that connection with other people. Because I'll be honest, we are that rope analogy again. We need multiple strands to be strong. Because if we don't have other people, it's going to take a little bit of effort and it's going to make us feel uncomfortable sometimes. Because some people are better at it than others. But, you know, I really believe that we all can learn. And as we try to connect with other people, you know, it's going to help us to grow. We're going to get a little deeper. And I don't know about you, but we ought to look around this room. And I hate to use sports analogies. I try to shy away from them, not use them all the time. But, you know, these are our teammates right here. These are our teammates. We're on the same team. I don't know if you ever played, you know, back in the day, we used to have a church softball team. And you could really build some relationships with people, you know, and stuff. And that connection, we were doing something together. We were on the same team. We were doing, well, most of us were doing the same thing. You know what I mean? Some were not doing the same thing, if you know what I'm saying. It's their first time playing. But it's all good. It's all for fellowship, you know. Although we did win a trophy, I ought to bring that thing out. We took second place. You know, I know second's like kissing your sister, but still, for a bunch of old people, we did all right, you know, because the young kids beat us that year, I think, but oh well, we got a trophy anyway. So what is fellowship? How do you define fellowship? You know, the word for fellowship in the Greek is the Greek word koinonia. Have you ever heard that before? Koinonia. And it's a word, what it means to share in or fellowship with participation. fellowship with participation. And that's the key. Now, sometimes we can go to a place of fellowship, but not participate in the fellowship. Is that real fellowship then? Probably not. We're there, but we're not there. And that we got to get beyond that. Now, I was talking about close mutual relations. And, you know, I think that's where we get the idea or the concept, the feeling is mutual. When you run into somebody and they say something, oh, the feeling's mutual. Now, this has a two-edged sword. I believe it has double meaning to some degree. Number one, it's talking about sharing your faith. And I'm not going to talk a lot about evangelism right now today, but there is that aspect of us being able to communicate what it is that we believe about Jesus Christ and to be able to share him with other people, especially those who do not know the Lord. Now, there's a lost and dying world out there. Now, I don't believe we put Jesus on our finger and cram him down people's throat, but still there's opportunities that God will give us to be able to make a difference. Now, I think that we need to be a witness to our friends, unless you don't really like them. You know, then that's okay. No. Even if you don't like them, you need to witness to them. You know, we need to invite them to this church. Did you know that a lot of people go to a church because their friends go there? You know, it amazes me. You know, some people have said, you know, I tell people to go to church, but I don't tell them to come to this one. I says, well, you go here. You know, I said, what? What are you talking about? You know, if they come here and they don't like it, they can leave. Right? At least give them a chance. You know, give us a chance. Invite them. Reach out to them. Let's make a difference in their life. Because I'll tell you what, you know, life goes by too fast. And a lot of times, you know, that we miss out on opportunities. There's timings in people's life. And, you know, you're going to find out that the Holy Spirit is going to, you know, be able to give you an impartation of inspiration in your life to be able to share with somebody. And tell them what God's doing in your life, and it's going to be the same connection that you have with them. Now, next, this idea, besides evangelism, I believe it's fellowship and connection with fellow believers as we share the common faith that we have with each other. Now, I believe that we're better together. You know, this is a revelation that God has imparted to me over the years. You know, I'm kind of an independent character, you know, to some degree. I could have easily, you know, just been a prophet and lived off somewhere, come out, yell at people, come back. You know, that would have been a dream job for me. You know, but God didn't let me do that one. You know, he made me do this one. Or didn't make me, but he gave me, said, you want to do this? You know, I still remember a time I had given, make a long story short, a guy needed a ride from Centerville to Ottumwa, and he was on a bicycle and it was dark. You know, I wasn't going to send him out on the road, so I hauled him down there, and, even though I had other things I was doing, I did that, and anyway, the presence of God filled my vehicle as I was driving, my little Ford Ranger. Yes, God shows up in Fords, amen. And, you know, as I was driving back, you know, God just imparted to me that, you know, make a long story short, it's about people and the idea of making a difference in their lives. I knew that, but this was a deeper revelation he was imparting to me. And I wouldn't have been able to receive that revelation if I wouldn't have tried to be involved in somebody else's life. And that's what we need to do. We need to get to the place in our life where we want to be involved. And, you know, sometimes that's a big step for some, and sometimes it's easier for others. Now, fellowship about the Lord, I believe when we do that, you know, it increases our knowledge of Jesus because, you know, as we fellowship with other people, you know, I don't know everything about the Bible. I know that. And you don't know everything about the Bible. But you may know some things that I don't know. And one thing that I really like, especially the Alpha class or different opportunities, you know, I'm with the youth on Wednesday night, so I don't get to, you know, be with grown-ups, you know. It's kind of frustrating sometimes. But, you know, anyway, I enjoy adult fellowship because we get to talk about life issues. And what happens is that people will share something and I'll all of a sudden grab a hold of that. And I learn from that. And that makes me better. You make me better. You know, if we get to that point in our life that other people can make us better, then we're going to start to grow. And to see important, you know, I heard this preached one time where we could be only one connection away from our miracle. One person that we meet can get us to the next place that we need to be. And that's important that we understand that. And why we need to reach out to other people, because we need each other. Because we are better together. On how all that factors in into the place, you know. I remember in Bible school, I used to have a friend, and, you know, we just preach each other happy. We just start talking about Jesus. We might have been having a bad day or, you know, something going wrong, and all of a sudden we just get to talking about Jesus a little bit and how good Jesus is, and for, you know, we all both had a smile on our face because we make each other better. And it only comes by that connection. So that idea of being able to, inspire each other, be an inspiration to each other, and that Christian love and fellowship, you know, is an inspiration as they watch us to a lost and dying world. And that's why we need to be ready for that. So, how do we connect? I've led us to this point. Now, these are some things that I've gleaned along the way, some things that, you know, maybe been shared with me, and some things that I've experienced. You may know more than I do on this area, some of you, but I'm just going to share what I feel that would help some of us today. Because I do know that, you know, I am not the only introverted person in this room today. I do know that for a fact. And I do know that probably deep down inside, we do crave fellowship. Why? Because I know that God created us that way. But I do know also that sometimes we just feel uncomfortable having to do it. I just went to a conference down in Tulsa, and I forced myself, because I went alone, usually my wife. It's nice having your wife there. You don't have to talk to other people, right? No, just, I'm messing around. But anyway, but I was down there, and I forced myself to go and try to talk to other people and just to try to learn. And it was different, you know, because I'll be honest, I go for the word, man. I just love the word. I just love to be preached to and just to be able to hear. I take notes. I write it down. I try to S&D it, you know what I mean? Swipe and deploy. When I hear a good idea, I swipe it from them and I deploy it in my life and, you know, try to get better. That's one of my goals in life, so always get better. But the idea of connection, I really forced myself. I just decided before I went there, I'm going to try to connect. And I did. I was able to connect with two or three people. And it was good. We learned from each other. And I'm very thankful for that. Now, connection with some, especially if you feel introverted, you feel that, well, that's just not me. That's not me. Well, it may not be you now, but it can be you. Because connections is a skill, being able to connect is a skill that can be developed. Now, there's some people that are more, you know, bubbly and outgoing and just friendlier and all get out, you know, my wife like that. I don't take her with me sometimes because I never get to talk. I'll just be honest. I went and prayed for somebody yesterday and she says, you want me to come? I said, no, I don't get to talk if you go. And I wanted to do a little talking today. No, not saying she talks too much, but she's very friendly. You know, and I'm slow at the, I mean, if we was quick drawing each other in communication, man, I'd be shot before, I wouldn't have my gun out of the holster before she had shot me, you know? She's just, it comes naturally to her. She's better at it than I am, you know? And I need to get better. So, you know, I just left her home, you know? And I just wanted to try this on my own, you know? Because I really wanted to connect with this person and talk and being able to minister to him and stuff. So it's a skill that can be developed, so we don't need to receive the lie from the devil. Now, as I said, some people are wired that way, but we can get rewired. Let's say you needed a receptacle or a plug-in in a certain area of your house because you're maybe going to put, you know, some electric, maybe you're going to put an office in and there's no plug there for your computer. Well, you can go over there and you can cut a hole in the wall and you can put a plug in the wall, but that thing ain't going to work. Why? It's not connected. It's not connected to the power supply. So we need to learn how to rewire ourselves so that we can get the wires connected so that we can learn to function and to be able to flow in that way. And that's something that can be developed because it takes a connecting wire or something to be able to get that flow. Now, social media is good. You know, because what happens, though, it's good in some ways, but it's bad in the other. because it's kind of hurt our culture in some degree. You know, you can have a lot of friends on Facebook, but are they really your friend? You know, you may be connected with them on Facebook through their news feed, but are you really connected? You know, and you might feel like you really belong, but do you really belong? Because it takes more than just that superficial relationship, you know, to make us feel a part of something. And we need to get to the place where we can, in our relationship, we can feel a part of something. I hope you feel a part of this church. You know, we want to help you to feel a part of it. Because when you feel a part of something, then you can start to really tap in to God's strength and to be a stronger Christian. Because with the superficial stuff, we miss out on the physical touch and what we need. Now, here's some points to help us in our ability to connect. I was going to share a couple. Number one, do not predetermine your assessment of a new person. This happens, doesn't it? When you meet somebody, you see somebody, you predetermine in your mind, you've sized them up already, that they're going to be this way. And so you go in there already expecting a certain style of answer when you try to talk to them, and it may be totally different. It could be the way they dress or whatever the case may be. It might give you the wrong vibe. I don't know. But I just say, don't predetermine. Try to go in as a blank slate and give each person an opportunity. Because you never know who can be your friend and can really help you. Because we all need help. We all need each other. And by putting ourselves out there, and it's a risky business. I ain't going to lie to you. You might get a little owie sometimes. Somebody may not be as perfect as you thought. But nevertheless, it's still worth it, and we need to try to work on that. Next, make that person feel valued. And this is the key. If they feel that you feel that they are valued or important, that's going to go a long way in the connection process. And you say, well, you know, what do you mean? Because sometimes if we don't feel that we really want to get to know them, or they don't feel, we don't, it's hard. I mean, I'm not a faker. I'll be honest. It's hard for me to fake stuff. You know, some people are good at it. I ain't gonna lie to you. I know, you know, you can see right through some people, you know, but some people can really fake being your friend. I can't, it's hard for me to do that. You know, it's just not how I'm wired for whatever reason. You know, and that's why sometimes, you know, my weakness is if I feel I already have too many people in my life, I don't go out and try to get more. You know, as far as close relationships. Because Jesus had 3, right? Jesus had 12, but he only had 3 that was close. And sometimes, you know, I'm not saying that's a principle that we all need to do, that you only need 12 friends and 3 is only close. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I do know that we have some people that are friends and some people that are really close friends. And sometimes, especially if you're like me, that it takes a little effort to try to make friends and do things. And, you know, maybe it's a, you know, I'm self-counseling myself. Maybe I was hurt in a relationship one time. I can think of times I've been hurt. And maybe that's made me pull back from time to develop more relationships in my life. And that can be something so to deal with. So we need to make people feel valued. You know, body language is important. You know, it tells if we're talking to people. Now, I have a hard time with this at the back door of the church. You know, I don't mean to give off a bad vibe, but to be honest, just so you know, I'm not shirking you or disrespecting you, but when I'm at the back door, I'm technically trying to shake everybody's hand. That's my goal with the pastor. Now, maybe that's right or wrong. I don't know. I've been thinking about just giving up on it and letting the ushers de-greet as well as greet, so I can just mingle in here a little bit, because I miss out on some little deeper conversations I'd like to do. But the other part of me, I really, as a pastor, I want to touch everybody. It's kind of weird. I'm not meaning in a weird way. But I mean, I want to shake your hand. You know, I do. I want to thank you for coming, because I'm thankful that you come here. There's a lot of other options you could do. But I'm thankful that you come here. And I feel like even the little kids on the van, I thank them for coming on Wednesday night. I make them, because I am, I'm thankful, sincerely thankful that you come here instead of somewhere else. And so I really like to do that. And so sometimes it then, you know, some people wants to enter into a real deep conversation with me at the back door. It's hard because I really want to help this person, but yet I know I want to, you know, shake everybody's hand. So I'm there. I wish I had another hand or something. So if you're back there and you see me turn away, I'll come back to you.